Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. And to say I'm really pleased with this week's interviewee is an understatement. Anybody knows me know that I am a keen cyclist, a keen road cyclist here in Antigua and Barbuda. So when my next guest agreed to be interviewed, I was absolutely ecstatic. Now, let me introduce you to Monica Garrison. Monica is the founder of a growing organization based in the USA called Black Girls Do Bike. She believes that the simple act of riding a bike can be the catalyst to wonderful and empowering experiences for women of all ages. At first, it was a genuine question, do black girls bike? But quickly for Garrison, it came a call to action, and now her website, blackgirlsdobike.com, has become a nationwide network of thousands of women of colour connecting through bicycling. We even have a chapter here in Antigua. So what started as a simple idea to connect lady cyclists has turned into an international movement of life-changing self-care and community building. So welcome, Monica, to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. I've already given a brief bio at the top of the program regarding Black Girls Do Bike. But tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from, your humble beginnings.
Sure. So I come from the East Coast in the U.S., a little town called Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's pretty well known for its steel industry, which now we're having a renaissance and becoming a tech capital of the world. But I, you know, truly humble beginnings. Me and I had an older brother, my parents. Pittsburgh is a small town. We call it a big little city. So everybody kind of knows everybody.
Yeah.
But it's a big town. So grew up here, loved it here. Eventually, I decided to go to college here so I could stay close to friends and family. And I never really left. I love to travel, but I've never lived anywhere else. So I always say born and raised in Pittsburgh, but I have a heart that travels the world.
So what's been the draw to Pittsburgh? What keeps you there?
I'd say mostly family. It's funny, I met my husband here, but he was from Detroit, Michigan. So I brought him here. But his family was here too.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the hardworking people of Pittsburgh. It's a unique place. We've got a lot of pride for people who were actually born here. And a lot of people come from here and leave and do great things. And so we carry a lot of pride in that too.
Okay. Now, obviously at the top of the show, I talked about Black Girls Do Bike, which I'm a big fan of. But obviously that's very much a grassroots movement. But I also know you do photography. So tell us a little bit more about the key motivators, I suppose, one for Black Girls Do Bike and second for moving into photography.
Sure. So I just found cycling to be one of the greatest activities I'd ever done. Didn't require any specific skill other than maybe the ability to balance yourself. And I really, once I became a mom, I really enjoyed it as a way to spend time with my kids and have them do something that we all enjoy together. So, you know, that's where my second love, I guess, of cycling started. And that's what eventually led me into creating the Black Girls Do Bike movement. And then photography has always kind of been with me. I was the kid who always had a camera.
Yeah.
And then I became the teenager and adult who was always asked to take pictures at weddings and things like that because people realized that I had some sort of gift, if you will.
Yeah.
And so my first opportunity I had to take classes regarding photography, I did, so I could learn the fundamentals. And then the things that I learned, I've carried with me and taken it more seriously in the last year or two. But the two worlds kind of collide because Black Girls Do Bike allows me to curate the Instagram page that we have and our Facebook page. And in doing that, I'm able to use my photography a lot to kind of tell stories.
So
in that respect, it's the best of both worlds. I enjoy cycling and I enjoy showing cycling to other people and making it come alive with my photography. So
excellent. And what keeps you motivated in that career?
Well, I can't sing and I can't draw. So photography is my way of expressing that part of me that I, you know, I want to show to the world. I'm a bit of an introvert, so that's also a way that I can kind of show things that I enjoy and love without necessarily speaking about them. So I can put the world on notice to what I care about. And then cycling is just, I'm a lover of the outdoors, always have been. Even when I was a young child, my older brother was into fishing and hiking. So he took me along for those adventures. Yeah. And so that's when I kind of developed my love of just, you know, staring at the stars and into the sky at the clouds and just appreciating, you know, what we have here. So cycling was a great way for me to venture outdoors and also get exercise at the same time.
Yeah. So you mentioned being an introvert. But just the two fields that you're in means that you're thrust into the limelight, which to me sounds like an introvert's worst nightmare. So what tips, what do you use to overcome that?
Well, you're absolutely right. So I think it took 2 years for me to like put my face on Black Girls Do Bike because I really wanted to like happen magically. Yeah. And nobody knew who was behind it. And then the photography, the funny thing is my favorite photography is portrait photography.
Okay.
Which means you've got to meet someone. Usually, you know, you've never met them before. You're spending an hour to 2 hours with them and you're getting really intimate, you know, trying to capture their essence. And so, yeah, I found both things to be extremely, contrary to my soul. Yeah. But I enjoy them both, go figure. So I'm learning about myself. I'm learning that I am capable of putting myself out there and interacting with people and having positive outcomes. So it's been really an awakening for me over the last few years. But how do I do it? I just put one foot in front of the other. And in each circumstance, I read a book once that said, you should visualize doing the activity. Right. So you could visualize the best possible outcome or even the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
But mentally walk yourself through what you're about to do. And then when you get into the situation, it's not so intimidating because you're like, your brain's like, oh, I've been here before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know what to do. So it can have a calming effect and kind of walk you through.
Yeah. And visualization is a great technique to use.
Mm-hmm.
So has there been a time where you've confronted a challenge and things haven't gone quite to plan? And how do you cope when you're faced with that situation?
I think life is full of those situations, right? I mean, and I'm a planner, right? So I always want to plan things out and then they never, ever quite end up the way I expect. But I will say usually they're better than my worst fear, right?
Yeah,
so you anticipate something and it changes on you completely. And that's okay. That's part of the journey, right? Learning to be flexible. Trying to think of a specific situation. I think just generally being flexible and learning that really is the key to every situation.
I watched
a TED talk the other day and the speaker talked about a scenario happening and you going, oh, that's horrible. And then somebody else going, it might be horrible, might not be horrible. You know, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
And then, and the point was, if you look at every situation, like, well, let's sit back and wait and see. You'll find some things are better than you anticipated and some things are worse than, but the knee-jerk reaction is not always necessary because you have to kind of let things play out. So
yeah.
I kind of look at everything that way.
I know what you mean about being a planner, because I always tell myself I'm pretty structured. So I usually have a plan. My husband knows when we travel that he doesn't have to worry about anything, because Janice knows exactly where to go, what time to catch something. And like you say, it is about, sometimes it doesn't always go to plan. It is about having that flexibility and not always kind of just going off the deep end, because it didn't quite go with your way of thinking. So Monica, what's been your biggest career triumph so far?
I'd have to say starting Black Girls Do Bike. Though I don't look at it as a career, but I've spent my life, my short life, working for others and, you know, using my intellectual and physical labor to accomplish something for someone else. And so Black Girls Do Bike has been an amazing journey, assuming, you know, it started in 2013, which is not very long ago. And seeing it catch fire like it has, but more importantly, the fact that it's helping people. So it's easy to wake up every day and do something when you know you're helping people. And that's something that I think everyone should experience in their life, because it really changes, changes the game. So when people tell me, oh, this is amazing, and you have no idea what you've done for me or what you created, and I really don't, because I don't get to experience it firsthand in a lot of cases, but just to kind of see the overall movement happening and see that surge and that change as people use Black Girls Do Bike to make changes in their lives is just, you know, you can't compare anything to it.
So some of our listeners may not have been fortunate to know much more about Black Girls Do Bike, but they will after this interview. So just give us a little bit of an overview. I mean, how many chapters do you have, and roughly how many female riders?
So I think at last count, we were at 76 chapters.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think those are,
they're mostly in the U.S. Of course, you guys in Antigua. Very proud to have Black Girls Do Bike Antigua. But the total number, it's hard to say because we've got so many different platforms that we, you know, we have supporters on. We're somewhere around 13,000 to 14,000 ladies who are actively, you know, contributing and riding and speaking about it. So, starting at one in 2013 and making it to those numbers in 2017 has been phenomenal.
Excellent. So if you could go back, Monica, and change one thing, what would it be and why?
Change one thing. Just one?
Well, come on, just one.
At least one, right? I think I would just realize at a much younger age, how much of an influence one person can have, right? And how important it is to, you know, set your boundaries, know what you're trying to accomplish, and make strides toward that. So I would just say I would have started earlier in trying to affect change. And, you know, I'm in my late 30s now, so.
Oh, you're still good. You're still good.
That's what they tell me, yeah. but I just think, you know, a younger me with the motivation could have done a lot more. So I would have started earlier.
Do you think that's anything to be with being, I suppose, a girl or a woman? Because I think as we grew up, women of a certain age, we weren't encouraged to come forward.
Sure.
Do you think that makes a difference? Do you think that makes a difference now?
I do. I think things are changing, obviously. You can kind of feel the tide shifting, right?
Yes.
And women are realizing the power they have, and they've always had it. And I think, for instance, my parents were the type of parents that told me that I could accomplish whatever I wanted as long as I, you know, worked hard and did it. And not that every door can be opened with hard work, but if you don't work hard and you're not determined, then you don't even have a chance. So, they instilled that in me very, very early, to work hard. And I think that is the key in a lot of situations. You can't kind of wait for things to come to you. You've got to, You got to strive for them. You got to have goals. You have to, if you don't have a goal, you're treading water, basically.
Yeah. It's very fun. And it's very important for us to do that. So how often do you reset your goals?
Wow. I try to evaluate at least once a year.
Okay.
But to be honest, because I figure things change quickly, right?
Yes.
So if you don't keep in front of them, then you'll get left behind. It's funny, I have this thing where I like evaluate my wardrobe every 2 to 3 years, and I go, how does this compare to what, what's going on? And sometimes I'm like, I think I need to shift my my looks. So I'll change my hair, or I'll buy new things. But that's it's a small thing, but it is a part of kind of reevaluating and making sure that you are making the necessary changes. Because I have an issue with not progressing, because you've got, not just in clothing, obviously, but in order to progress, you've got to kind of constantly be self-aware and be reevaluating. And so I strive to do that on a regular basis.
Okay. So you talked about your family and your family instilling you work hard and you'll gain the rewards. Mm-hmm. So can you share with us a success quote or mantra that you would use and why it's meaningful for you?
Sure. I have a very strict rule where if I find that a person or a thing is toxic, in my life, I find a way to get away from it. Because I don't think you can be successful if you don't have people and circumstances that encourage that success.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people and circumstances can be your motivation to succeed, to get away from things. But I think you got to surround yourself with good people and smart people. And so, a couple of things I always say: once somebody shows you who they are, believe them. I've heard that many times, and it has rung true many times in my life. So, there's something to be said for forgiveness and chances, but you also have to be smart enough to recognize something that's it's not helpful and it's hurting you, and step away from it. And I also believe strongly, and I've said this in regards to Black Girls Do Bike, is, it's okay to love yourself and at the same time not put others down. So,
So
it's simply acknowledging that you feel that you are wonderful doesn't diminish the value of anyone else. So it's good to carry that with you, that you can do both at the same time. And that shouldn't destroy, true friendships that are actually to help you. So just a couple.
And I like you said that, because I think there's a saying that you're the product of the six people, something like the product of the six people closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need people to lift you up, because they don't have to see your vision, but I think they have to believe that you can deliver what you say you're going to deliver. And we all need that in our corner.
Right. Truth tellers.
Yes.
I just saw something today. You know, the person who tells you the truth is not your enemy.
Yeah.
And that struck me very well, because that's a true friend, right? Someone who's there to pull you back from the edge, but also encourage you to do things you didn't think you could. So you need people who will keep it straight forward and be faithful with you.
Definitely. So what has been a book that's influenced you throughout your career journey?
We talked about my anxiety, right?
Yes.
As a young person, I was very, very anxiety driven, to the point where I would have panic attacks connected to very simple things, social interactions. So at some point in my life, I read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yes.
And very popular, right?
Yeah.
I think I was probably 19 or 20 at the time, which was a crucial age for me, because I was coming out of high school, going into college, something I was terrified of, right?
Yeah.
As a person with anxiety, starting something new. And it really just kind of opened my eyes to the fear is not your biggest enemy. It's not doing or not trying something because of it.
Yeah.
And I really, that book was like my Bible for a few years because I took that with me into every situation. It was, I'm going to feel worse if I don't try this.
Yes.
And walk away before having, you know, put my toe in the water. And so I owe it to myself to at least do it. And that has helped me up until this day. I still, even when it comes to the visualization, it's me saying it's better to try it and fail than to not have tried. So I still feel a lot of fear, but
I hear that.
It's definitely not going to keep me, aside from getting on roller coasters. I still don't do roller coasters.
I'm with you on that one, definitely.
I got fear there and I'm not doing it anyway. But for the most part, it allows me to do things that I don't think I can really do.
And it's great not to have the would've, should've, could've, you know, and that what's the worst that could happen? But I definitely know what you mean about feeling the fear, because we all have it. We have the trepidation, but the biggest fear to me is what's going to happen. What's your future going to look like if you don't do it? Right. Yeah, that I think that's the biggest thing for me, and that's why I've taken certain leaps, definitely in my life. And I think you've probably done a few yourself, just talking to you.
Yeah.
So Monica, you talked about your anxiety. So, but now looking back, what advice would you give your teenage self?
Kind of like you just said, there's nothing that you should be so afraid of that it paralyzes you.
Yeah.
And to be paralyzed is much worse than to try it and find that it was not pleasant. I mean, so what? It wasn't fun. You didn't enjoy it. You may not do it again, but at least you tried it.
Yeah.
So I would certainly tell my younger self to not be paralyzed and to take steps to step out of that comfort zone and try things, more things.
Excellent. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Anyone in history?
Anyone dead or alive?
Dead or alive. Wow. There are so many. But I think I'd be silly if I didn't choose Jesus.
Yeah,
because of the wealth of knowledge, the depth of knowledge that interaction would give me. I think a conversation or a mentor of that caliber would be life changing, right?
Very much.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Excellent. So comes the last few questions now, Monica. What would you say the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Three things I've learned. I'd say one is that I'm capable of much more than I think I am or ever thought I could be. Two, it is possible to have conflict and resolve it and accomplish something. Because a lot of my life I was afraid of conflict.
Right.
Again. Driven by anxiety, and that conflict would lead me into these, you know, depths that I couldn't return from. And I've learned that conflict is necessary to resolve things sometimes. And if you learn how to do it the right way, then you can make it work for you. What was the question? Third thing. I've learned that people are generally good, and if you search out like-minded people, you can accomplish amazing things, right? So, people who have similar goals and have similar core values, and are driven and motivated, you know, those are my people. So
yes.
if I'm trying to accomplish a task, I want to surround myself with those people.
Yeah. So just flicking back to the conflict piece you said, I think as women, we definitely shy away from conflict. We don't like to hear the word no, or we can't say no ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what's the one tip maybe you'd give someone to, you know, just to face conflicts, just to handle conflict?
One thing to handle conflict, I would say, I guess, again, that it's necessary, right? So avoiding it doesn't help the situation.
Yeah.
Usually suppresses something that needs to be said or some emotion that needs to be expressed.
Yeah.
And if you suppress it, then, you know, it either blows up later or it hurts someone it's not meant to hurt. So, but find constructive ways to express, you know, your thoughts and your opinions.
Yes.
And if you present them in the right manner, then you will find generally a hearing ear and you can move forward.
Excellent. So what would you say, Monica, are your imperfections and how do you embrace them?
So I've always had the same imperfection, and no amount of therapy or friendship has gotten rid of it, which is my ability to go into tunnel vision and stay there until I've accomplished, you know, whatever it is, right? So, and it has its pros, right? Because it allows me to accomplish major things, huge things. But the problem is when I get that way, I often tend to focus so intently that other things are left by the wayside. And that can be family, that can be friends, that can be tasks at hand that I should be handling. So I'm very driven when I set my mind to something, but I tend to, you know, it can be harmful to those around me. So that's my biggest flaw. But I've embraced the fact that if given a task, I can assure you that it will get done.
Excellent. I hear a woman on a mission.
Yeah, right. Silver lining right there.
definitely. So what are the three key pieces of advice you'd have for maintaining work-life balance? Because I know you have a family and you're very busy with photography and with Black Girls Do Bike. So how do you maintain a work-life balance?
I try to prioritize on a regular basis. So it's that recalibrating where you sit down and you say, you know, what's most important to me?
Yeah.
And am I letting those things, those people know, you know, that they are a priority to me?
Yeah.
So I would say advice is constantly be recalibrating and making sure that you are prioritizing what's most important to you.
Excellent.
And then find ways of expressing that to other people, you know, whether it be your kids or your spouse or your friends. Find creative ways to let them know that they are important to you and that whatever you're doing on the outside is for the betterment of them and for you. And also kind of bring them along for the journey if you can.
Yeah.
So I try to include my family, my friends, my kids in the activities that, you know, that they will enjoy. Yeah. So they see that all I'm doing is not for naught, you know.
It's for
a good cause. Is that three?
No, that's cool. And I think that's nice because I have seen sometimes it's on your posts where you may be on a photo shoot and the kids are joining in and stuff. And I think it's really important that they see mom being successful or, you know, at work or have an understanding what she does, because when you maybe have to travel or do something that doesn't include them, they have a better understanding of what's involved. So I think that's great. I think that's great.
Thank you. And it's true because I'll tell you, one of my triggers is when my kids start to resent what I'm doing. They're like, oh, you're doing, you know, this, or you've got a photo shoot, or, oh, you got Black Girls Do Bike stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wait, they're feeling this internally. and sometimes that's the thing that brings me back. And I'm like, wait, you know, I've got to reassess.
And get out of that tunnel.
Exactly.
So Monica, what's your definition of success?
Oh boy. I think success is doing something that makes your heart rejoice.
Yeah.
And doing it well. So I don't believe in doing anything half-hearted. There have been a lot of opportunities given to me, and I had to turn them down because I said I can't give my heart to this. You know, it's not, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but without me really wanting to be motivated from the bottom of my soul, it's not worth it. So to me, you're successful when you are feeling that in your soul and accomplishing something that you've set your mind to.
So what I'm hearing is literally staying true to you.
Yeah.
And being your authentic, being your authentic self.
I mean, what else is there?
True.
It's a miserable life.
Yes.
You know, you can accomplish a lot, but if you're not being yourself, you'll feel lost no matter what.
Yeah. And lastly, Monica, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
I guess looking after myself in all of this, the power to say no, right?
Yes.
To protect yourself when you need to.
Yeah.
And not feel obligated to live up to someone's expectation to the detriment of yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's being your own hero.
And we touch on that, and I know this is my last question, but you saying that the power to say no, and I know it's something women really struggle with, how to say no. So how do you deal with that?
I do struggle with it. I mean, honestly, anytime I'm presented with, do you go left or right here? And I'm making that assessment. There's a book I read, of course, I can't remember the title, but essentially the concept was that every time you make a decision, there's a scale, and to the right is power and to the left is pain, right? So you want to make that decision that's going to move you to the power side. And the more power decisions you make and the fewer pain decisions you make, the better off you are, the happier you are, right? So it's easier to say no when you're feeling the pain and you're like, I need to move towards the power side, right? But not always so easy when things are going well and you realize something's probably not for the best. So it's just, it's being able to assess that, right? And make that decision. And I think I always fall back on, you know, I'm trying to take care of me so that I can take care of others. So if I do things that are detrimental to me, that's not going to be good for anyone around me. And so saying no is hard, but when it becomes necessary, right?
Yeah.
When it's something, when you have no other choice, then you just do it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. That was my last question. And I finish asking you questions now.
I'm just getting warmed up.
We can carry on, you know, No, thank you so much, Monica, for your time. Like I said, it's been a bit of a fangirl moment for me doing this interview. But if people want to get in, our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Certainly go to blackgirlsdobike.com and see what Black Girls Do Bike, is all about. And also blackgirlsdobike@gmail.com is the best email to get to me. And we've got all the other social media outlets that you can access. Just reach out and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Excellent.
And discuss anything.
And for your photography, let's not forget that.
Sure. I know it's so new. I'm still getting used to it. MonicaGodfrey.com is my photography website. And you can take a look at my portfolio and certainly reach out to me there as well.
Brilliant. And I had a sneak peek, listeners, and it's great. So definitely go and visit the website. So Monica, that was, as I said, that's the end of the interview. Thank you so much for your time today. As I said, my fangirl moment is over. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that was a great conversation with Monica Godfrey Garrison. And one of the things that always stands out for me every time I do these interviews with these great women are the challenges they face with confidence, no matter how successful they are. So that's led me to looking at how I can support the Phenomenal Women community even further. And I'm delighted to announce that I'll be introducing a new element to the Phenomenal Woman series and there'll be an additional show each week called Real Talk. Now, Real Talk will be the go-to resource for the Phenomenal Women community. And each week, I'll be expanding on various challenges, such as how to build confidence, how to maintain work-life balance, how to deal with the inner critic, and the list goes on. But I really want it to be driven by the Phenomenal Woman community. So please feel free to drop me a line, either via social media, I'm on Twitter and Instagram under The Real Talkist, or Facebook, I am Janice Sutherland, to let me know about the various topics you would like to have handled each week. For those of you who need a little help increasing your confidence, that's going to be my first topic I cover. So maybe you have a big interview coming up, you need to tackle a challenging conversation, or just generally want to improve your overall confidence. I have the perfect antidote. Join my Confidence Booster Challenge starting 14th of February. And yes, 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 I know that's Valentine's Day, but who's going to love you more than you? So you can join the challenge via my Facebook page, I am Janice Sutherland, to gain tips and participate in fun challenges to boost your confidence. It'll be better than any box of chocolates or bunch of flowers, I promise. So don't forget, that starts 14th of February, and I would love to have you there. I'd love to see you there and love to have your comments. If you want any more information about the Confidence Booster Challenge, I've made that really simple for you. I'll be covering off in the first episode of Real Talk. So if you listen to this a bit later, make sure you go back and listen to that first episode of Real Talk, or just listen to it live and you'll get all the pointers in there. You won't regret it, I promise. Well, all that remains to be said, as ever, it's my pleasure to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. I do hope you're inspired and enjoyed this edition of Phenomenal Woman. And if you like what you heard, please make sure you rate and review on iTunes, as that's how we get to share with all the phenomenal women that are out there. But also, make sure you share with all the phenomenal women that you know. You can connect with me via janicesutherland.com, and I'm on all social media platforms. So Facebook, it's I am Janice Sutherland, and Twitter and Instagram, I'm The Real Talkist. Links are all in the show notes. So remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative, and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending. So own it. Until next time.